KSDR welcomes you to this week's edition of On the Water and in the Air. It's not always about where the fish are biting or where the birds are flying. It's talk about how to go get them.
On the Water and in the Air with your hosts Neil Jensen, Randy Aggermeyer, and Lynn Jurens.
Yes, we have survived another week in the January snowstorms and weather of eastern South Dakota and the upper Midwest. How did we ever do it? How did we ever survive these? We just trudge right on through, don't we? We just have to trudge right on through. Before we get to the Cottington County Pro Pheasants, we have a really, really important announcement to make, and it's kind of serious. As you can see, Nick Polotsky is joining us, and there is no Randy Aggermeyer in the studio, and the reason is that we had to put him on sabbatical for a week. He stole all the money for his ice noodling tournament. And the cotton picking guy, he called it off because of this huge snowstorm coming to South Dakota this weekend. I mean, haven't you been watching the weather? I mean, they've been talking about this. We don't know where it's going to hit. Randy got scared. He scared him totally out of here. And he had to cancel that thing. So we can go down to Ponset this weekend. It's going to be just fine. They were predicting sub 20-some degree below, 25 to 30 degree below weather. I don't think that's going to happen. Oh, yeah, now for lows this weekend, they're only talking minus 8 and minus 5.
Oh, that's manageable.
I mean, they're 20-some degrees off.
Right.
On the good side. So, I mean, we're happy that these weathermen are wrong.
I mean, it'd be nice to only have to be right half the time, wouldn't it?
Randy Grimes, he's our main man in here, everybody. I mean, if he didn't have control of this thing, it would be utter, complete chaos. We're not considering you a weatherman. You just read what the weatherman gives you, right? But these guys on Kello Land, you know, Jay Trobick with that fancy hairdo, Brian Karstens.
Yep.
Everybody, get ready. We've got this crazy, crazy week of weather coming up. I mean, these clippers are coming out of the northwest. Well, just hold on, everybody. You're going to have a beautiful weekend of fish. Going to be a little windy here and there, but we're used to that in this part of the country.
It is South Dakota.
It's South Dakota. And thank you to our friends from North Dakota listening in. Minnesota, Wisconsin. You guys will, hey, is Polotsky, is that a ski?
It is?
Well, all of our friends from Eden, South Dakota,
yep,
and Northern Wisconsin, they're ready to hear from you.
Exactly.
Randy, you grew up close to that part of the country.
Well, in Dade County, yeah.
Yeah, Dade County.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, it's just kind of like Dual County. They mix a few Norwegians and a few Polish and some Germans, and we all get along in the end, don't we?
Oh, sure we do. Golly. Ah, you betcha, by golly.
Yeah, see? See? You're German, aren't you?
Irish.
They stuck an Irishman in Dade County?
They come out of the, you know, the potato phantom, the potato thing there back in the days. And they come to America.
There's no potato phantom here, was there?
No. They come to Canada, and then they come down to Wisconsin.
Is that a potato phantom?
Yeah.
The phantom, or a famine?
The phantom out of Ireland.
Did you bring the scotch with you?
No, I don't know if we had any scotch.
Irish whiskey?
Oh, yeah, you had to have the Irish whiskey.
Mm-hmm. What's your favorite?
I don't have a favorite.
You drink them all, don't you?
I drink them all.
Oh, well, hey.
Because on my mom's side, it was German, but yeah.
Oh, so now you mix in everything. And then I'm sure you had some Norwegian neighbors, so you had to mix in some vodka with it.
Yeah, I'm sure one of the older relatives married a Norwegian down there and somewhere.
Yeah, somewhere down the line. Or a Russian.
Yeah, I tried to think maybe a great-grandma might have been a Norwegian in there.
Yeah.
So.
Golly. Well, Cottington County Pro Pheasants. By George, we have had an amazing run in Cottington County. This year is the 18th annual. But a lot of support over the years for this Pro Pheasants Banquet,
absolutely,
Nick. And you know, just to kind of get a little bit, and we'll mention a bunch of the statistics on it here in a little bit, but yeah, 18th annual coming up in February 15th. Yep. So just thought it'd be really good for those that don't want to wait till the last hour, because remember how busy it gets in last day or two just to get enough tickets, and then we're going, how many tickets are going to be left?
Right.
And can we get them all into the Cottington County Extension Building?
Yes, sir.
That's where they're going again.
Yep.
Let's just chat about what the background is on Cottington County Pro Pheasants and why that's different than maybe some other organizations.
Yeah, so the organization started in 2002. Actually, we were having a debate about this last night at our meeting. We didn't know if it was 2001 or 2002.
Ooh.
But I think this is – it's the first banquet was in 2002 is what we came to for a conclusion. So, the mission or the vision of this group was always kind of four things. It was predator control. It was hens. It was youth, and then the big banquet at the end of the year to kind of bring everybody together. Well, actually, at the beginning of the year, but bring everybody together after the season and get together and tell stories, have fun, raise money for a good cause. So that's kind of where we're at right now. And,
yeah.
You know, we do all kinds of different things in every one of those kind of tiers or pillars. But, you know, it's been a fun year.
Cottington County had a pretty good uptick in pheasants this year. A lot of that a lot of this game is weather related.
Sure.
And the state did have a much better year. What are we doing, do you think, as an organization, as a county, as a group of individuals working on a goal of getting more pheasants on the ground? What do you think are some of the best things that are
you know, happening? I think some of the biggest things right now that we're seeing is awareness. You know, people are starting to understand and see that we've lost some of the habitat. You know, they're starting to see that there isn't as many places for them to go. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes just the awareness of it is kind of the first step at this point. And I know that's been out there for a while, but, you know, I think we're starting to see some of the things changing, you know, whether that be increased CRP dollars or, you know, in land or acres coming. I mean, there's lots of different things that are going on. People releasing hens, you know, doing some of the knowing that the coyotes and the coons and the skunks, you know, kill more pheasants probably than anything out there. So, mm-hmm. you know, working and taking care of those types of situations, better land control, making sure that we have in areas where we are, you know, farming for pheasants, for example.
Oh, yeah, there's good ones out there.
Exactly. Making sure that you have the habitat, you know, making sure you got the cattails and the trees, you know, so that they can find cover in 25 below with, you know, a 20-mile-an-hour wind.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. What was supposed to happen this weekend.
Right. Thankfully, maybe not.
And I mean, we're going to get a little bit of wind, but
right.
We're not going to get that amazing. Yet, this is when it starts to get tough.
It does.
We had that ice over the New Year's. Luckily, we got some really nice weather to open up some spots where they could find food again. But those ice events, and then you see cold weather. You know, if we'd have seen some cold weather, one of the two will work. Then all of a sudden you have another, you know, storm, windstorm, whatever come in like that. I think they're going to be fine this winter, but that's the type of weather that can really knock these things back because they've been depleted of their fat content. They've
right.
been depleted. They're unhealthy, and then they get whacked again here at the end of January and February. It can
yep.
usually be pretty devastating.
Yeah, I mean, you know, when you really see them out, you know, when you see them out looking around for food, and you're seeing pheasants around every body of grass, you know, they're out looking for stuff at that point. So, you know, thankfully, again, this winter hasn't been too bad on them yet, I don't think.
Yeah.
But hopefully, we can continue that and, you know, put together a couple nice winners in a row here where that we can really grow that population back where we want it.
And we really need to thank those farmers and landowners that are being stewards of the land. Lou Radishot and Dan Radishot are the first to jump up and really say, stewards of the land. I mean,
right.
you, and they'll say, that is vitally important. I was back home, Southern Dual County, last week, driving around, looking at a couple farms with friend that I did a lot of hunting with when I was a young man and through high school and college.
Yeah.
And I'm going, boy, this landscape, where the heck's a rooster going to live?
Right.
Where's a hen pheasant going to survive?
Right.
And he goes, Lenny, you know, this used to be cattails. This was cattails over here.
Mm-hmm.
And it was barren ground. This was a huge cattail slough that we farmed around
right
back when we were kids. It is no more.
No.
And I go, what happened? He goes, it's drained.
Right.
Yeah, there's no slough there anymore.
You know, I think it's also easy to jump on the farmers in that situation and say, well, you took all the land away that they were bedding in and staying in and you know, living in. But, you know, you can't blame the guys.
They survived.
Right.
Hey, business is tough.
It is.
You and I are both in business, and without a good farm economy,
right.
We know how quickly things go south in our businesses.
Right.
And so, I mean, they're doing what it takes to make ends meet.
Right.
I mean, they got their families, they got their obligations, they got input costs. So, it isn't, you know, and he and I both rely on the in fact, he farms.
Right.
You know, he farms 1,000 acres, you know, it's not, you know, because he's got other businesses that he does also to make a living.
Right. You know, and that's the thing that I always look at is, you know, people are pretty easy and quick to jump on the farmer bandwagon to say, well, they're farming everything. They're not leaving any grass. They're not leaving any cattails. But you know what? If you were in that situation, you'd be doing the exact same thing. You know, it's a numbers thing. It's a business thing.
Yeah.
I mean, we get it. We just got to figure out other ways and other means to make sure that we have, you know, the staple of South Dakota.
And they're still providing the food.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
I was on a half a section of land in southern Clark County on the last weekend, and there's plenty cover there.
Right.
They were out in the food, which was on the guy's cornfield next door.
Yep.
So if he's not providing the food, we have...
Yeah, they don't exist.
They don't exist.
Right.
I mean, if you just have good cover,
yeah,
good luck.
I mean, you really, really need four things in what I've read. You need food, you need habitat for the hens to lay the eggs in. You need a big thick cover, you know,
for
winter. Mm-hmm. And you just need some of this stuff that we see outside to be kind of mild for them. You know, if you can get all those things, if you get some trees in there for them to go and protect themselves, I mean, then you're gonna have birds. And I think that's a thing that I saw this year. You know, if you're on land and property that has those things, I think you're going to be just fine most of the time.
The other, you hit on it a little bit earlier, and that's predator control.
Yeah,
a lot of our local farmers are allowing these guys in the middle of winter that are bored,
yep,
that love to get on their legs with a rifle, yep, and take out some of this coyote population.
Yeah, I was just talking. We were just talking with one of our group members last night, and he's a cattle farmer, and he said that since the beginning of the year, they've shot 18 coyote out of a slough that literally is about as big as the parking lot out here.
Isn't that amazing? 18.
You
get two of the dogs out of there, and here comes the territorial side of
now things. In his defense, that's right next to a cattle yard, so they're coming in and feeding on their, you know, their cattle stuff. But
yeah,
he said 18 since January 1 they've shot out of that slough, which is crazy.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
I mean, and they're prolific hunters.
They are.
They're better than our dogs,
and
our dogs are pretty darn good at
right.
it. How many did our dogs catch in that last month after we had some snow? And they don't. I mean, the dog doesn't know if it's going to be a hen, and neither does the coyote.
Right.
So,
right.
And they're kind of eliminating both. So,
yeah.
What's a coyote catch in?
I'd be a couple weeks. I'd be scared to know. To be honest.
Especially if that's one of their. You know, if they got the rabbits cleaned out.
Right.
They're a little tougher to catch. So.
Right. A little faster.
A little faster. So.
Right. Well, I'm not so sure. Maybe
easy.
Not.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, there's, you know, I think everybody, when we say predator control, they think coyotes, but I'll bet money that skunks and coons get as many eggs in the spring as coyotes do overall as well.
The possum.
That too, yeah.
For a while, we were seeing a bunch of them around here. Are you hearing anything on possum right now?
No.
Dead outside our house.
I have heard a couple
4 or 5 years ago, but I haven't heard much about them.
You know, I haven't heard much, you know, from maybe the outdoor community. I have heard an occasional patient say that they've had a possum, you know, with the cats or trying to eat, you know, cat food or, you know, those types of things. But I haven't heard much outside.
Buggers can really wreak havoc on a nest too.
I'm sure. So. You know, and they're kind of, from what I've heard on them, they basically crack the egg open, take a little bit, crack the next egg open, take a little bit, and they're done. You know, it's like, well, there goes 12 eggs, you know, it's gone.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know,
so, are you guys still providing a trap? Is that kind of, is that program still going?
Yep.
Live traps and even conibears in a 5-gallon pail used to.
Yeah. No, I mean, we got the live traps going still.
Oh, is it the live traps?
Yeah.
Okay, we kind of got rid of the of the ankle crushers.
Yeah, we got rid of those. No, but we got the live traps that any member can purchase the night of the event. So we'll have those there again, and they're something that a lot of people utilize to help control, you know, just those population of especially the ground varmints, you know, the smaller ones, the coons, the skunks, those types of things. So
The stray cats.
Yeah. Or if you're another one of
dirty
our members.
Dirty buggers.
A hawk somehow got in his live trap.
Oh, did it really?
Yeah. That
might
want
to let that go.
Yep. He just opened that one up and said, I tried not to get scratched in that process, he said.
Yes. You talk about members. I know we're not going to remember everybody that's on the committee doing a lot of the work. I'm sure Brad Meyer is still digging.
Brad's still
right
there.
On there.
Yep.
He'll be out to see you, local business people.
Yep, he'll be coming.
It'll be a group of people.
Yep.
Coming out looking for table sponsors, just looking for an overall sponsor. That's what really drives this thing. And then the night of the banquet.
Yeah, you know, our big thing is we want you there. We want people there to experience what's going on and, you know, to talk and, you know, just have a good time. I mean, that's really our main event. Yeah, we're trying to raise money, but really it's a group of like-minded individuals getting together to talk about how their season went and what they're excited for coming up and how they're going to change or make things different in their pheasant population moving forward.
Wow. We did this whole show without giving Randy Grimes his sausage egg biscuit.
Uh-oh.
This is, we're lucky we didn't get cut off, everyone. We are lucky we didn't get cut off. He never has any napkins left over. Oh, no, he's just got a stack about 2 inches tall because we give him napkins every week for his sandwich. And now Nick and I get to, we're going to fight over this triple stack in about 2 minutes. It is. Wonderful. Thank you, McDonald's, for being quick this morning.
Yeah, exactly.
Holy smokes, I was just about going to be late.
He almost ran by me when he came in.
I did. I had my head down, didn't I? So $50 for a ticket?
For general admission. And that, you know, that's not just a ticket. That's that gets you in. That gets you a hat. That gets you 3 drink tickets for the night of, so
hey,
you can come and have a little fun,
hey,
too.
Hey, that's the 3 drinks. That's $50 right there if you're out on a night.
Right.
I would guess chicken and beef dips?
Have they
changed the menu?
No, I think we're still, I believe, you know, I don't know that for sure, to be honest. I would guess it's beef tips if I had to guess.
Well, and is it, does it say who's... Who's doing who got the bid for the meal this year?
Second Street is doing it.
Yes.
So you know it's going to be good.
Yes, you know there's going to be some beef tips
yep.
around there, some mashed potatoes.
Yeah, I'm sure there'll be a little bit of that.
Corn.
Yep.
And the other stuff.
And all
the
other
the bun.
Good. I'm
with
sure
the little pat of butter.
Yep.
All right.
Probably a napkin or two.
Yeah, yeah. Randy, you can bring your staff a cookie.
Yep.
There's always a cookie or two, and some of us get to take two because we have too much Norwegian in us.
Yeah.
Anything else here in the last 30 seconds, Nick?
You know, I think the one thing to maybe bring up is, you know, it's not just for adults. You know, we try to cater to the kids. So if you're just thinking, what am I going to do that night? It's a kid-friendly event. We got a whole room for them in the back to hang out and, you know, have fun. And they, you know, they can run back and forth to mom and dad. It's just we're trying to make it a family thing. You
kid
know,
gun raffle this year?
Yeah, we're giving away almost 20 guns for kids this year.
Yeah,
which is going to be good. Obviously,
yes,
that gets them
is.
Excited.
And it's not tough to get sponsors on the guns.
No, that's honestly the easiest place.
Yes,
kids guns, that's easy.
We have. I remember back in the day. You know how that goes.
Yeah.
The same sponsors don't they wouldn't let you. I'm there on that deal.
Right.
Don't let anybody in on this deal.
Yeah, everybody's, you know, again, most people are good about kids, of course, but, you know, kids, the kids side is the easiest things to get. You know, our goal is that every kid walks away with something, you know, whether it's a, you know, a shell bag or, you know, I mean, everybody's not going to get a gun, obviously, but, you know, we want them to have something they're going on.
If nothing else, they'll have a cookie.
Exactly.
Yeah. There's a lot of good things.
Yep.
Got a lot of good opportunities. The kids go racing off to their area of the place.
Yeah. Usually it's, bye, Mom.
Yes.
Bye, Dad.
Yeah. So that's a big part of it.
So we're excited. So if you need tickets, check us out on propheasants.com, and you can get all your tickets right there, or reach out to me at my office over at HealthSource Chiropractic. You can reach out to Brad Meyer at his office, Meyer Visual Clinic. Or at the Watertown Chamber of Commerce as well.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Okay. So coming up, 18th annual, February 15th. So just a short time down the road here. Tables of eight. Still available?
Yeah, still available.
Tables of eight, so get your little gathering together.
Yep.
So that's eight times three drinks. That table can have 24 drinks
for
$350, and they'll throw in the meal. All right, for another week, this has been On the Water, In the Air. We appreciate everyone tuning in. Back over to Mr. Randy Grimes.